Hi, everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. My name is Peggy Ployer, and I am the host of this weekly broadcast, as well as the founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool. And Sped Homeschool is a nonprofit, and we empower parents to home educate students who have various learning struggles, disabilities, cognitive disabilities, a variety of different things that get kids stopped up in their learning. And so whether you're homeschooling or not, these conversations are for you. Just know that you can tack on this information if you have kids in other types of education, as well as homeschooling. But the goal of our nonprofit is to really empower parents to understand that they can teach at home and that that is a viable educational alternative if it's something you haven't thought of before. So I just want to encourage you to dive into all of our resources at spedhomeschool.com, as well as our YouTube channel. You may be watching from there. We have over 900 videos on that channel that you can search. Or you can listen to our podcast that this audio is released the following Sunday. So we have a variety of different resources out there for you and just encourage you to dive into them. If you are watching via Facebook, YouTube, just know that you can join in this conversation because it is live by putting your comments, questions in the feed. If you want to let us know where you're watching from, or you just have a general comment about our topic, which today we are wrapping up a month-long series on preschool or early learning. And so those questions we would love to address, or just based on anything else we happen to be bringing up during this conversation, put that into those comments and we'll be able to see those, bring those up on the screen if they build into our conversation, and we'd love to address them live. So thank you all for joining us and for popping on, for sharing this conversation with other people that you know that might be interested in this as well. And so I've got a wonderful guest, Carrie Strong. Carrie, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule.
Of course. Well, thank you for having me. This is an honor.
Yeah. And we, like I said, we've been talking about preschool, early learning. We're going to talk about learning readiness. And I know in past broadcasts, we've been talking more about the technical scientific side of that. But today we're going to focus more on the whole child approach to that. And I'm excited for you to be able to share with us just what it takes to understand if a child really is ready. And then also some things that we as parents often miss, I think, in approaching that readiness and it not just being a scientific decision. So I'm excited with what you have to learn, but I know there's probably some background to that, a little bit of your own story and your family story. So I'd love for you to be able to start in sharing from that perspective of just what's been your homeschooling journey and just your own background to kind of make you passionate about this topic.
Sure. Yeah. I grew up in a public school and I was one of those parents that said, I'd never homeschool my kids. And I know a lot of moms out there would probably say that too. Right. My husband was actually homeschooled. So there was a thought in my head that that could be a possibility, but it was like, nope, I grew up in a homeschool I grew up in a public school. So there's I didn't have the desire to even do that in the beginning. I'm a very task oriented person, type A. And I always thought, like, how do moms ever get anything done with kids at home? So right. I just thought, as soon as they're five, they're out of here. And I'm going to start getting back to my task list. And that was really my mentality for quite some time. So when I dropped my son off at school for the first time, I had this sinking feeling that I had just handed him over to the state to be raised. And I did not anticipate feeling that way. I thought, well, maybe that's just normal for a new mom to feel when she first drops her son off. But that didn't go away for me. So I started praying about it with my husband, who of course was like, well, yeah, let's homeschool. I was homeschooled. So to him, it was a no-brainer. But to me, it took a little more time to get there. Yeah. And as we were praying, the Lord brought to my mind, teach us to number our days so that we can gain a heart of wisdom. And that's kind of what put the nail in the coffin for me was just, I don't know how much time I've got with my kids. I don't know, hopefully at least it's 18 years, but it could be less than that. It could be more than that. I just want to use this time that I have to be able to influence them the most that I can during this very impressionable stage of their life. So we ended up pulling him out around Christmas time, and I actually bumped him back a grade because I noticed his maturity level was not even ready for kindergarten at that time. So we backed him up
That's very
to
wise.
preschool, and it's been good. That's been a really good fit for him. So that's kind of how I got started. I actually have dyslexia. My husband has dyslexia. So my mother-in-law told me, well, there's 100% chance your kids will too. Okay. So, I mean, I didn't want to just set them up for that, but come to find out, they do struggle a lot with reading. So that has been a challenge in our home. So I'm excited to talk more about that, and just I'm excited that I'm on this journey.
I love that you pointed out that you were anxious and you felt like as you dropped your son off, you had these feelings and you didn't ignore them. I think a lot of times we can talk ourselves out of that to the point that, well, this is just normal, and not pursue it the way you did to really say this uneasiness needs to be dealt with. Too often we just say, well, I'm just supposed to feel this uneasiness. And I think we are told that as well as parents, well, this is just what everybody goes through. And so just let's normalize it and let's just put your kids in the place where everybody else does. And that really is ignoring where God is saying, press into me. See why this feeling is there. Because when God is in a place, there's peace. And we have to pursue that peace if we're feeling anxious.
Yes, for sure.
That's so good. And it is. It's hard to make that switch when you what you know is being challenged. And what a blessing to you that your husband had been homeschooled. Because at least you had 50% on board to start out with.
And of course, his parents were on board too. So his mom was like, "Well, yeah." So, because she had already done it, and a lot of homeschooling parents don't have that. And so I do feel very blessed that actually my parents were supportive as well.
Yes, and sometimes it is a very huge battle that continues all the way through your child's education that you don't have family members that support your decision. So you've have a lot of backing, and that's extremely helpful, I'm sure. So you talked about dyslexia a bit. So when did you start to realize that your kids were struggling with reading, maybe as much as you or your husband, or maybe more?
I don't know that I even was the one to figure it out. I thought that they were doing okay. And then my mom, who is a preschool teacher, she is a Montessori preschool teacher. She was here for a week and just sat down to read with them. And moms are honest, I'll tell you. So through a lot of tears and feeling like a failure, I was like, oh, wow, yeah, they are struggling. And a lot of time I was pregnant last year. So a lot of times I'd be like, go read by yourself. And then so I felt like a failure in that moment, like, oh, I should have been reading with them more. And then I've been talking to so many people that are like, Carrie, just relax. Like, that word keeps coming back to my mind over and over again. And through multiple people, they're like, Carrie, relax. Like, you got this. God's got this. And the more that you get anxious about them being at a certain level, the more it's really going to backfire on you. So just let them be where they are. It's not that you're a failure. It's just that their brains were slower to develop in that area. And that's okay. And that's hard for me to just. It's been hard for me to let go and be okay with the fact that my second grade daughter is at a first grade reading level, and my 10-year-old reads probably like more like a 7 or 8 year old. My 9-year-old reads like a 9-year-old. So they're all at different stages, but to just, it's been a sanctifying process for me to allow that, because I think so much of the time we put pressure on ourselves to impress other people and say, hey, look how good my kid is reading. And it's not God's expectation of us. It's just our own or our cultural expectation. And that expectation puts a fear in our brain. And then I feel like that fear triggers anger or anxiety or frustration because our kids are just not where we want them to be.
Right.
But when we relax and just let them be there and go at their pace, they're making improvements. And so that's what I need to celebrate is they're better today than they were yesterday.
That's a great perspective because, I mean, even as you have older children and you're watching them struggle, we can copy that same mentality to everything from, you know, them learning to lift their heads, to crawl, to walk. You know, we're measuring all these milestones all the way up through their lives and looking around. And it's a step-by-step, you know, little progress by little progress and, you know, celebrating those accomplishments one child uniquely at a time, that really does matter. Can you talk a little bit towards those younger parents that feel so much of that pressure? I mean, you buy those books that are like, this is what your child should be doing at this age. And here's what you need to teach your child before they're ready to go to school. And, you know, just, it is so much to deal with. And how do we take ourselves out of that and really approach that from a place, what you said is rest.
Yeah, I wanted to read from Matthew a verse that said, I pulled it up on my phone earlier, but I can't remember exactly the reference, but just that my burden is light, my yoke is easy. Just that simple verse that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And God is not expecting your child to be at a certain level, at a certain time, at a certain age. And so that's a cultural expectation. So we can rest in him that he built their brain. He knows the pace at which they need to go. And we just have to sit back and watch and see when they're ready. And it's just like anything else. When they learn to potty train, when do they learn to potty train? Well, it's when they're ready. And I'm thankful I learned this with finally by my third child. I wish I had known it with my first two because I tried to push potty training before they were ready. And it wasn't working. And for a year, it's like, come on, just go. And then when they get it. And it's like, it's like overnight. So,
yes.
And that's how, I mean, with my third born, my daughter, I was like, I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to let her do it when she learns. Mm-hmm. And again, with her, it was just like an overnight thing because I did not push it on her.
Right.
And it's been the same with her handwriting. She has a really hard time gripping a pencil and her dexterity is just not there. So again, that's another area where I put her a grade behind, so to speak, with her writing. And now she loves handwriting because she's not fighting with me. We're not in peers and I'm empowering her to where she's at. So now she feels capable that she can do handwriting because she can master first grade handwriting now. That's just where she's at. So I just think it's so important for moms to just relax. Your kids will learn the concepts when they're ready to learn, just like they learn to talk, just like they learn to walk, ride a bike, all of those things apply to that principle.
Yeah. It's that learning readiness, the kind of pre things that we should be working on versus the pushing of the actual thing, because and that analogy with potty training was so good because that's one thing that I'm sure if we pushed it, we really got the kickback that this just isn't going to happen. And I think we think that all of these learning subjects are void of that same process, where they really aren't.
Right.
Our kids need to learn and grow in that process of all the things that have to be in place before this is going to happen, have to be there. And so no matter what good curriculum you have, it's just not going to go. I mean, I remember buying the book, How to Train Your Child to, you know, Be Potty Trained in a Day.
Yeah.
And I remember doing that with my oldest. He was almost ready. but I quickly learned with my second, who was very hard-headed, that it wasn't going to happen on my timing.
Yeah, it's cool how God gives us those too. He throws a curveball in there. And so many stories I've heard are that same way, where their firstborn was like, doing great and you think that you're this awesome mom. I even heard you talk
Right.
about this one time on a podcast. And then you have that second born or their third born with all kinds of, you know, when my friend Andrea is an example of this. She thought all of her kids would be in Ivy League schools of their choice. They'd all graduate with a 4.0. And that was her mentality going into homeschooling because she was academic. But so the Lord humbled her, and her firstborn had dyslexia. Her secondborn had health issues. Her thirdborn had ADHD. And then so she just had all of these things. And she finally realized, I need to relax and go at their pace. And once she did, they're all at grade level now. So it was just, it's humbling because you want to take credit and be like, well, look how great of a parent I am. And then it's like, as soon as you start thinking that, like, but you're not a failure either on the other hand, because you know, God's grace is there to help you through that process.
Exactly. And all of our kids aren't meant to go to Ivy League schools. They, you know, majority are not. And that's their calling. And, you know, that's so much better than, you know, following this tract of what we call, you know, success. Because success can look so different for every child. And I think embracing it, like you were talking about, that very early on, those successes, those triumphs, that's going to lead us more towards that perspective of what success really looks at. Can you talk us through the process of just kind of how you have transformed your view of success for your children, as well as your whole homeschool, through the lens of that rest and that moving at your child's timing and their own learning readiness.
Yes. And this is something that I'm learning as we speak right now, even as you're talking to me, the Lord is like, this is what I'm trying to show you right here. This is what I'm trying to get at. And so I'm totally preaching to myself when I'm on here, that at the end of the day, if I can say we showed more kindness today than yesterday, we saw more respect in our home than we did yesterday, we used a kinder voice than yesterday, then I feel like that those are the real successes. And even for me as a mom, just I blow it all the time with my kids. Just at the end of the day, I can feel like such a failure. Like, oh, I did it again. Like I said this, this way. And, and then I have this verse up on my wall that says, well done, good and faithful servant. And I look at them like, how can I even look at that? Like, I just feel like this terrible failure. And Christ speaks to me almost every time, like, because you're looking at you. But you can look at that verse if you look at Jesus, because that's your success right there. He was perfect. He got it all. And so you can rest in him that he has it all together, and that when you make mistakes, I'm just there to help you back up the next day.
Yeah.
So, oh, I mean, it used to be success was if somebody's going to come up to me and compliment me and be like, you have a really well-behaved kid, or your kid can read really, really well. And I mean, let's be honest, those things are still flattering when people say those things. And I have to watch myself not to become proud, because that really is not the definition of success.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So what is the definition of success? It's a good question to follow up with that.
I think when we hear, well done, good and faithful servant, and we just get back up. I know that a verse that just came to my mind as we're speaking is, it's in Proverbs. It says, a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. And so I think success is just get back up. Do it again.
Keep going. It really is.
Try to keep going.
Yeah. It's that biblical form of endurance. And if you, you know, read into, you know, even the stories in the Bible or a lot of Paul's writings, it's, I endured, I ran the race. I, you know, the ones who just stuck to it and called out to God in the hardest times and, you know, made it to the good times. And sometimes it still went to bad times again. But that faithfulness, the over and over again. And that's what we're called to, not the perfection. And I think too often within the homeschooling realm, or even just the educational realm, we put success of the type of achievement on that pedestal versus just that we're being faithful and we're enduring. And it's not pretty. A lot of times it just really isn't pretty. But But yet, you know, I've learned when we cultivate what you're talking about, Carrie, that within our home, we create the environment to not only allow us to endure, but our children to endure too. Because our kids go through struggles. And I mean, that's what, you know, our audience really has to push through is we have, you know, kids with dyslexia and dysgraphia and various cognitive disabilities, physical disabilities, mental health challenges, physical health challenges. And I think the biggest lesson that we can teach is endurance. And it's not an easy lesson to teach or model at all. So yes, that is, it really gets to that core. And are we ready to learn through that? Instead of just, well, let's get out the books. Let's forget about everything else that's going on. No, we have to do it in the middle of it. And, and that's hard because it's not going to look like everybody else's, you know, Instagram pictures of we made it through all of this great curriculum today. So do you have anything to share with our audience as far as, you know, how do you make it, you know, let's approach schooling with the mentality of we're going to go at your own learning rate versus well, we're going to get this book done this year and let's just push through it. So how does that change the dynamics of day in and day out homeschooling?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know for me, just being a planner type A, I have the tendency to fall into that where I would, if it were up to me, I'd plan my entire year out. And I've done that before. It's where it's like by this day.
Oh, I have to.
Yeah. And I set myself up for failure there too.
Right.
I mean, I'm like, by this day, we're going to be on this lesson. And then I leave no room for the fact that my kids might struggle along the way with a certain lesson. And so I actually have had, even this year, I've had to go back and erase a lot. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm going to take, for me, I have to take one day at a time. And I know that that's hard for the planner out there to hear. And it may or may not work for you, but I know that for me, taking that pressure off to be at a certain place during the school year has really allowed me to allow my children to go at the pace that makes sense for them. So that if there is a day where they're just not getting the math concept, or there's a day where like, okay, we want to go on a homeschool hike today. And we're going to take a little extra time in this subject so that we can take a break to go be out in nature and be with friends and allowing that to be okay.
Right.
I mean, if you think of it though, a lot of public schools don't even finish their curriculum. And I think I just put a lot of pressure on myself to have all 170 lessons done by May 1st. And it just doesn't happen a lot. And if it does, it's because we were pulling our hair out and there were lots of tears and we were so stressed out and it just isn't worth it. So I just thought, you know, if we have to go till July, we'll go till July and we'll start sooner if we need to start sooner. But just to even incorporate breaks, because I get burnt out really easily. I mean, we can do the rigorous, all of the subjects in one day and go through a whole week. And I am so tired, like exhausted. And I don't like school. The kids don't like school. So we really have to incorporate those breaks and really have to slow down at a pace to where they're not getting to the point of extreme frustration.
It is hard for us planner type A's. It took me a long time to get to the point where I was only planning a week at a time, a long time. And finally just saying, you know, for my own mental sanity and my children's, I just can't do this anymore. I mean, I can have all the books bought and kind of have in my mind of where we're going and what we're going to use, but not writing it down every specific thing that until I kind of saw that. And if we really do push, something that came to mind while you were talking too was we create learning gaps if we push our kids through to just get it done versus just saying, well, we need to focus on this because you didn't get the concept. And so let's find some other resources that, that help us or approach it from a different way, have a hands-on additional lesson, those types of things to really solidify that instead of, well, we checked the box. Now that means you know it.
Yep.
And we're moving along. But it actually makes teaching further down the road even harder. And
that's a good point.
Yes. And boy, I have done it, been there, and paid the price of having to teach one child three years of math in 1 year to catch him up for the gaps that were created. So don't do that. Learn from me. If your child's going through a struggle. It's just what it is. So Mandy said from Facebook, thank you for your honesty. This means a lot to me and to so many other parents. Yeah. Well, God gives us stories, not so that we can keep them to ourselves and feel like, you know, we can sit on that pride like Carrie talks about, but we share them because we want you to know that, you know what, there's other people out there like you, and we've been doing it for a while. And that Flora is watching on YouTube, and she said, my husband and I have great difficulty considering what would society think about our children if we take them out of school. That stopped us from homeschooling. We're scared of people rejecting them. You do want to talk to that a little bit? You know, it is a different perspective that people look at you, but
they do. Yeah. I have a friend who just pulled her kids out this year, and she was really good friends with the moms that were in the school. And so she is struggling with this right now. And I've been watching how quickly, though, God has just given her new friends. Not that we don't keep the old friends,
right?
But his grace is sufficient for us in that. And I mean, we've become really close during this time, and we both started attending a homeschool group together and going for hikes each week. And just the conversations that we've had there have been so fruitful and so good. And they're everywhere. I live in the middle of nowhere. I mean, I'm in Irons, Michigan, and I'm sure nobody on here has ever heard of Irons, Michigan. It's between Cadillac and Manistee, but you hold your breath, you've driven through it. So if I can find a homeschool group, you can. And they're everywhere. So, yeah. I mean, I even put a card up for my book in a restaurant, and I had a lady call me because of that card. She's like, Carrie, you got to come to our homeschool group. And like, so the Lord has so many different ways that you are going to meet people, and he will bring people into your life to encourage you and help you on this journey. And you might have to let go of some of those close friendships that are holding you back or making you feel guilty. And that's probably a hard thing to hear. But God has more people for you in your life that will help you on this journey.
Oh, I love that. Yes, that is so true. And so much for you to learn as parents too, and grow you. I know there's the argument of, you know, we won't have community. There's also the argument of, I'm not cut out for this, but you know, God can answer all of those questions and make them even better in the end, like Carrie was talking about, those friendships, those perspectives. My kids have formed lifelong friends within the homeschool community, and it's been a blessing to see how we've been blessed because we've been obedient and in just following what God has for us. And I tell you, since the pandemic, the world has become a lot more accepting of homeschooling because we've all tried it now in some form or another. And, and so the arguments now are not even anything close to what I started with over 19 years ago when I started homeschooling. And so it is, it's come a long way, and it's amazing to see, you know, just, the studies that are being done. There's a massive study that's being launched this year on homeschool achievement, and just even for various, you know, even struggling learners, that if you move them out, and we've seen this happen in our community so much, is working at their own pace, like Carrie's talking about, is the answer. It's just the schools can't do that on an individualized basis. I've talked to teachers over the years, and they've said, this is, you know, differentiated education. That's, we know it works. It's just, we can't, we don't have the amount of people and the time and the, just the resources to be able to do that. But homeschoolers do. And that's the beauty of learning. And so I love that we're talking about learning readiness, because that learning readiness, yes, it starts with the beginning of the process of learning, but it continues all the way through the entire education of our children.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's when we're ready to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk a little bit about you as a parent? And sometimes, hitting that wall. I know mm-hmm. you've talked about it a couple times here on this conversation already, but hitting that wall and finally saying, okay, things have to change because the way I've approached them up to now isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
So what's been that process for you?
Yeah, that's happened so many times along the journey. So not just once, but definitely the first time I can think of that was when my oldest was entering into first grade and I had bought all the curriculum for first grade and I was going to go through everything. I had the chalkboard uh-huh. up. I had their seats where they were supposed to be. I mean, everything was just like, to a T, this is what we're doing. And and I just encountered tears after tears and I was stressed. Mm. I was stressed. I was burnt yeah. out. And I told my husband like week two, I'm ready for summer break. And he was like, what's a problem? And I was feeling the burnout. And I just felt like the spirit was saying, here, you're not going to have to do this for much longer. And I was like, what? What does that mean? Like, I'm not going to have to do this for much longer. And I just kept trudging through and it was still really, really difficult. And I just hear that voice again, Carrie, you're not going to have to do this for much longer.
Mm.
And then it hit me one night what he meant by that. I went to a Bible study and I don't know what it was in the Bible study, but all of these thoughts kept coming to my head that I had originally had when I first wanted to homeschool. And it was like, what if instead of taking your kids out of life to learn about life, you go into life to learn about life? What if you start learning things naturally with them? Let them come alongside of you in life to learn about life. And all these ideas continued to flood my head and I got excited. I'm like, this is totally different than what I've been doing. We're not scratching the textbooks altogether, but we're going to take what we're learning. Right. We're going to go out in the world and find ways to implement it.
Mm-hmm.
So one of those examples, we were studying in Bible class, Noah and the Ark. So, that weekend we went to Kentucky and we went and saw the replica of Noah and the Ark. And, I was just blown away by it. And my kids were too. And you could just see the Bible stories coming to life in their heads.
Yeah.
And if I had been so textbook worried, we wouldn't have done that, but it was just, we took what we were learning and we went and we found a way. And now we can't go to the replica of Noah's Ark for every lesson that we have, but there are so many times where God will bring an idea to my mind to say, here's another way you could implement that would be more effective and meaningful to your children.
Mm-hmm.
I could give you example after example, but that's just how we've morphed our homeschool now into, yes, we have our curriculum. We have it there more as like a resource.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than being enslaved to our curriculum, now our curriculum is a slave to us. We can use it to serve our purposes for education. Mm-hmm.
Right. And really just listening and being open to those opportunities. That's good. I love that. Cause it really does show how much freedom that we have in homeschooling that oftentimes we don't embrace because we're so worried that our child is behind. We've got to catch them up.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that behind mentality and what are we catching them up for?
Yeah.
and really where our perspective should be changed as to where we're catching up.
Oh, Peggy, that's so good. That's so good. Cause it's again, me preaching to myself, that is what I feel like enslaves us. That's what I feel like adds that burden to school or homeschool is that we have to have them at a certain place. And we don't. What are we catching them up for so that they can compete with people their age when, I mean, do I ask you how old were you when you learned how to read? I mean, how old were you when you potty trained? Well, no, we don't have those conversations anymore. They're not even meaningful anymore.
Yeah,
so it's just, there isn't that anymore. That's a pressure that is on us because of, like you said, the system. They have to have that because they have 30 kids in their classroom. And so they need to be able to report back home what's going on.
Right.
But we don't have that pressure as parents and we can go at their pace. And like I said earlier, it's not something that God has put on us to carry. And it is a chain that will weigh us down. It weighs me down every day. Believe me, I am always feeling that pressure of, oh, they're in third grade. They need to be here. They need to be on this
I
lesson
know.
at
It
this
just—it's like
time.
this suction cup that's attached to that just kind of follows you.
And I used to be a teacher, so I'm like trying to de-school myself from that mentality on a daily basis and recognize like, no, that is not from the Lord. That is not scriptural. That is from our culture.
And we don't talk about all those milestones as we get older. But so on the flip side, what are our milestones that we are reaching for our kids? Because we do have to have some sort of trajectory.
How do you balance that? Because we don't want to be neglectful parents on the other end, and not, and we still do want accountability. So that's really good too. I mean, we still strive to go through our curriculum and try to accomplish those things, but they're not, I mean, and they do become enslaving a lot of times still. But to just back up a little bit and just give ourselves the freedom to do it at the pace that we can, that makes sense for our families. But I think it is good to go back and evaluate where were my kids here? And it's fun. It can be fun too to be like, wow, they've really accomplished this. Like last year they were at this reading level. Now they're at this reading level, and that's really fun to celebrate. So I think as long as we're keeping that perspective of that, this is an exciting thing that they're now at this, they've achieved this. And so you do want some achievement because you want your kids to see that they're growing and that they're capable and they can accomplish things. So I think that, yes, like you're saying, there is value to that as well.
And there's so much value that we create outside of just these learning practices, I want to call them, because learning happens everywhere that is around us. I mean, we are, God created us to learn and to grow and to create, and it's just naturally occurring in us. What we can do as parents is we can either nurture it or we can squash it. And pushing, like we had been talking about earlier, is how we squash that. But watching for that readiness, cultivating that within our children and that environment really does encourage that learning. And I want to speak to one of our YouTube viewer brought up a question about this, and that really goes in line with that. She said, I have a 7-year-old with Down syndrome who loves special school and a 5-year-old with SPED who hates preschool. The eldest follows me at home, but the youngest does not. I really fear he won't learn anything with me. Advice. I think we do have that fear that again, the opposing children, we're given one who loves, learning in any aspect, and then the second born, which is my case, has been the like, I don't want to do anything you do, child. But yeah, just advice for, getting over that fear and saying, I can cultivate a learning environment in my home that will be conducive to this child who seems to not want anything to do with what I'm doing.
I thought it was interesting how that was phrased, that you're afraid that they won't learn anything with you. And I just thought, oh, but they're with you. They're with you. They're watching you. They are a little sponge that's absorbing all of that stuff, even when you don't realize it. And I think it's really cool. Like I had a friend, Jess, who is a guest in my book too, who she was telling me a story similar to that, where she gave all of her attention to her firstborn. And then her secondborn was like, why don't you teach me, mommy? And she was like, oh. She was like, yeah, I really have been focusing on that firstborn. So she went to go sit down and do some things with her secondborn and realized that he was at the same level as the firstborn because he was just there watching and observing and absorbing all of this stuff. So your kids are picking up a lot more than you think they are.
They are, yes. You can create that culture of learning, and that just being inquisitive yourself and diving into learning, and they can't help but absorb it. It's just natural. We're all wired to learn. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I always encourage, you know, putting up posters in your house and things around, you know, the alphabet, timeline characters, whatever, mm-hmm. because whenever your child sees them, they're learning. Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to instruct towards it. They're just looking at it and absorbing it. And so, yes, that environment and, mm-hmm. and yeah, it's just being willing to learn yourself and to mm-hmm. give that modeling example. And how exciting that her oldest is already excited, because one more example for that younger one to follow and say, well, what's, you know, that's mm-hmm. often that curiosity will take over. Why am I not getting what they're getting? Yes. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what those younger ones that come behind just learn. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. And that doesn't have to be done at home either. So, I mean, if you're taking mm-hmm. them to mm-hmm. museums or to the zoo or to different places, I mean, they're going to absorb that stuff, or even just a nature hike or whatever it is. Like, I like the idea of putting up stuff around the house so that they're just picking it up on their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So even beyond that child learning, you know, the regular school learning, or early education, school learning, you know, but we're preparing our kids eventually to launch. Mm-hmm. And when they launch, we're not going to care a whole lot about the stuff that we stressed on the most. I know mm-hmm. that. I have three adult children now. So do you have any advice for parents, you know, in the light of that training of character, of all these other non-academic things mm-hmm. that, how can we incorporate those bigger things mm-hmm. into our children? Maybe we have extra time. They're not ready to move on with reading. They're not ready to move on math. How can we change our mental focus and our time and attention to things that are even more important?
Yeah, that's another great question. As you're speaking, I just think of just doing life together, just letting cooking together, folding laundry together, and being okay with the fact that when they're young like that, their play is a big part of their learning. Mm, so allowing mm-hmm. them to really develop that play. I think yeah. I even read in, I think it was Better Late Than Early, a book by Raymond Moore. I was reading bits and pieces of it, but it's that playtime is so essential for early growing that yes. even, and it looks like they're doing nothing. Mm. But it really wasn't until later centuries that play really got cut short, and then they were put mm-hmm. in school. And studies have been shown that kids who haven't had that good time to play have a harder time being responsible adults, because that part was never fulfilled in their life. So just allow that time. If your kid's not ready to read, to write, to do all those things yet, that they are developing the parts of their brains that are learning, that will eventually read and write. There's a study out there that talks about the kinesthetic, or not the kinesthetic, the sixth sense, I'm going to forget the name of it now, the vestibular sense.
Oh,
and
yes.
I don't know if you're...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But just like them playing develops that part of the brain, and that mm-hmm. part of the brain will eventually be the part that reads. And so that's really great mm-hmm. that they're developing all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. We've talked a lot about that. Regulated, unregulated play and all of that. Mm-hmm. But it's always good to remind ourselves that mm-hmm. we still need to be playing. Our kids need to be playing. Mm-hmm. It's such an important part of, and I'm so glad that you pointed it out, especially for those later year transition, because we always think the most important things that are going to prepare our children to launch are the academics or mm-hmm. the life skills. But it really is them working out on their own through play environments mm-hmm. what works and what doesn't, because otherwise you just continually fail because the systems that you've memorized don't work in every situation. Mm-hmm. And when we play, we can actually test out things mm-hmm. and internalize that, so we don't have to always think about it. We can almost instinctively react to what is right. because we've kind of worked that out ahead of time. And yeah, but it is so countercultural now to bring those things into what we would consider a healthy way to prepare our children to launch. But yet it's so important. So yeah, agreed. And just preparing our kids for eternity. We can work on so many things. We do not know what the future holds for any of us. And that's the core really of how we should be focusing on, preparing them throughout anything. Do you have anything to add to that specifically?
No, I think you said that really well. That was good. It's more than academics to prepare them for. Mm-hmm. I'm just processing what you're saying. I think this is really good. I need to remember this. And that all of those things are just as, if not more so, beneficial to them when they leave the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they will go through hard times. And I know we're going through a family battle right now that's really hard. And, I look back and go, what was most important that I instilled in my kids when they were younger? It was that they knew God, they know his promises. Mm-hmm. May not always agree with them, but they know, and they've been taught that we love them and we're there for them. And I think that's one of the greatest homeschooling lessons you can teach your kids, especially as, Carrie was talking, you were talking about just walking with them at their own pace. When we push, when we give them expectations of what we think where they should be at, we kind of let them know, and without really saying it, I don't really appreciate, your unwillingness to push beyond what you can do. I want you to do more than you can. We don't realize the messages we're giving when we aren't okay with where our child's at. We're basically saying you're not good enough. And of course, that's not the message we want to give, unfortunately it is. And just embrace our child where they're at, love them there, and say, I think one of the best parenting advice books I read said, you as a parent are not the opponent. Your kids will try to make you the opponent because you're safe. Usually you have to get out of that boxing ring, get behind them and say, I'm going to coach you through this. There's the enemy. There's the battle. Let's do this together. Mm-hmm. And when you can work behind them to support them, to give them the tools that they need to face their opponents, that's really our job and our calling. So you've written a book and you've got a website. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that. So you've got a website called strongroots.farm. Mm-hmm. And what can our viewers find on that?
Yes, my book is on there. And I also write a blog called Inspirations from Creation. I will say that I'm not super faithful at it with a little one in the house right now, but being a new mom again for the fourth time.
Yes.
But I do love doing that, and love just going outside, being in nature, sharing what God speaks to me through his nature, and love writing things about that. So I've got my book on there and that, and just a little bit about myself. But the book was really just a blessing to me to write. I actually started writing it for my sister, who decided during the pandemic that she didn't want to put her kids in school anymore. She wanted to homeschool. And I was like, let me give you all the tools that I wish I had had when I first started homeschooling. So I just wrote her my own cheat sheet of what I thought was important for her to know before starting. And then it just kind of grew from there. And I met with a publisher and he's like, well, you should probably double the word count if you want that to turn into a book. And so I ended up interviewing 10 other moms out there and just was so blessed by their stories and the things that they had to share. And a lot of their stories are in the book of why they homeschool, what methods they use, different approaches to homeschooling. Because I was always wanting to enter into the world of another mom and just see what is it like for them? Like, what does school look like for you on a daily basis? So there are stories in there from top to bottom of what their day looks like and how they roll. And just to give you examples of how it can flow. And a lot of them, I'm like, oof, there's no way I'd do school like that. And then other ones, I'm like, okay, I resonate with that one. So, so it really was a blessing for me just to be able to talk to these moms and hear what they do and then put it into words. And then hopefully it will bless other people too.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I think we idolize like one person and we're like, that's the way homeschooling's supposed to be. And I've learned the same thing. No, not doesn't happen in my house. If it doesn't mesh with my own personality, with my kids' personality, there's no way I can do homeschool that way. We've got to take those idols down and really come alongside that community that we resonate with. And I love that word resonate that you used, because it really is, there's no one right way to do homeschooling, but it has to be right for us. Because otherwise we could be walking someone else's path and struggling the entire way, and forcing our kids onto a path that they just weren't cut out to walk either. I do respect a lot of people that do a lot of things that I didn't do.
And that's a great, it's a great reminder for me to not compare, and to gain ideas, like for sure gain ideas from different people and like, ooh, I like that. I'm gonna implement that into my schoolroom. But when you start to compare and you're like, ooh, I should be doing this, then it becomes a burden. And it's like I've flip-flopped my way of schooling and I've tried methods and I'm like, it's just not working. I keep going back to the same thing that does work for me. So don't feel bad if you find that method that works for you and it's not what somebody else is doing.
Yes, that is great advice. So, what is the name of your book?
You Can Homeschool: Answers, Methods, and Resources with Real Life Stories.
Awesome. Yep, I'll get that added to the YouTube feed, as well as Carrie's website, so that you can just click on it and it'll be in the podcast description as well. That make it easier instead of having to type all those words in. Because I know it can be kind of difficult. anyways, well, I want to thank you, Carrie, just for sharing and just reminding us that learning has to be something that not only our child's ready for, but we're ready for, and to take it at that pace. And what a great reminder at the end too, that it doesn't have to look like anybody else, no matter what pace we're going. There's also a lot of other nuances to teaching at home that we have the freedom to do, and we should embrace that. So I appreciate all your input and just sharing your story with us, and being willing to dive into other people's stories too and share that in a book. That's some great, just a great perspective, to be able to do that instead of saying this is the one way, everybody has to do it this way. I love that you've kind of incorporated a lot of different things into that.
Well, thank you, Peggy.
It's been great listening to your story, and just so Carrie and I were sharing before the show started that they're going to look at road schooling soon, and I'm excited about that adventure for you. Lots of things ahead, and so blessings on that journey and where God's going to take you to learn even more outside those textbooks than you were talking about already.
Thank you. I'm excited too.
That's great. It'll be memories that you and your kids will never forget, and family bonding time. So, yes, if you have the ability as a family to travel and learn, it's amazing how those are really the only things they truly remember. So, take advantage of it. It's precious. Definitely. So yeah. Well, thank you, viewers that popped on. We appreciate your comments. And if you have any final ones, we'd be happy to entertain those. We've got a couple minutes left. This is kind of concludes our month long of talking about preschool. And I know we had a lot of questions about early learning preschool, and we wanted to focus on that this month. So even our blogs on our website at spedhomeschool.com, you'll find a variety of of new blogs, as well as some older ones we've published in the past on this topic. So we know that there's lots and lots of new homeschoolers coming in saying, we're not using the school system at all. We're going to start homeschooling from the beginning. But that means that there's a lack of products out there, because this is a wave that we've never had before. And so so we've just really been blessed to focus on that this month. Flora from YouTube says, thank you very much. You are welcome. We are happy to help and be praying that you can make that decision with peace to homeschool if that's where you're feeling led. It definitely is a leap, as Carrie shared from her story and from my story. It definitely was a leap. I had lots of struggles and really thought this was going to ruin me and ruin my children. Somehow we've survived this.
Yeah, I told Peggy earlier that we're all going to need therapy anyway. Yeah.
Join the club. One way or the other. Yeah. Yes. So better to be in God's plan and need therapy than to be on man's plan and need extra therapy. Right. So yes, we'll just stick with that. So, well, next month, we're going to kick off next week with our next month's theme, and we're going to talk about integrating technology into your homeschool with a variety of different things from, it's going to be fun. We have virtual reality we're going to talk about one week. We're going to talk about creating records for your kids using some technology. And just next week, we're going to focus on just simple ways to integrate technology as kind of therapy. So we're going to talk with the group from Iconics again next week, and they have some fun, interesting ways to incorporate that technology piece in. So we'll be excited to share that with you. Since we all have access now to all this tech, we kind of wonder if we don't want to overdo it, we don't want to underdo it, because there's a lot of good resources out there. But how do you balance that? And so we're kind of taking it from that perspective, not that you should be teaching everything on technology, but that there is a balance and there are some good mixed in there. And we want you to know what those options are so you can take advantage of them. So that's what's coming up in October. So, yes, thank you again, Carrie, for joining us. This has been a fun conversation and a great way to close out this month, because we've talked a lot about the scientific, and I don't think we've talked about the whole person, like I said at the beginning, that whole person perspective of our child. And what are we doing in this process of pushing and not being ready, or when they're ready, waiting for that, and even ourselves. So thank you for having this conversation and allowing us to highlight those important topics. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. This is an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. We have this broadcast live from 12:30 to 1:30 every Tuesday, Central Time. If you're at a different time, of course, adjust that, please. But yes, so we'll be back again live. But otherwise, you can watch the videos rerun on YouTube as well as Facebook. And then we'll be bringing out shorter clips of this video in a couple weeks too. So so just know you can digest a lot of our content in different ways. Just search our YouTube channel, search our website, and search our podcast for previous episodes to find exactly what you need, because we know there's a wide variety of needs out there. We're just trying to create a resource library for you to be able to get the information that you need so you can be empowered to homeschool. So thanks all. And we'll see you again next week. Same time, same place to talk about technology. We'll see you then. God bless. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
The content we feed our minds will eventually show up in our lives. If we feed our minds the lies and confusion of this world, our lives will begin to reflect worldliness. But if we feed our minds the truth of the gospel, our lives will start to reflect the heart and character of Jesus. I'm John Stonge, and each week I host the Dwell on These Things podcast, where we take a deep look at the Word of God and learn what it means to apply it to our lives. We don't skip difficult passages, and we don't gloss over the truth. If you're looking for a show that will put your mind in a better place and help you understand God's Word with more clarity, you can listen to the Dwell on These Things podcast at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.